So open your Bibles at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to verse 14, please. Philippians 4, 10 to 14. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us to meditate upon your word. We pray so that, Lord, you reveal the wonderful truths that we find in your word. And we pray so that, Lord, we leave this place blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for reading God's word clearly. There was a traveler who set out on a journey to find a treasure. And there were rumors about this treasure, that this treasure was hidden right on top of a mountain, a distant mountain. So this man set up on his journey, and the journey was odious. It was filled with challenges. It was filled with obstacles. But this man persevered, and he finally reached the tip or the peak of the mountain. And lo and behold, when he got there, he was expecting to see this treasure that he had been told about. And behold, he saw this old man sitting peacefully, gazing at the sunset. So the traveler asked the old man about the treasure. Says, "Where is the treasure?" Then the old man responded to him. He said this. He says, "The treasure you seek is in front of you." Confused, the traveler looked around for the treasure, but all he saw was the beautiful mountain and the breathtaking view. So the old man explained to the traveler. He said to him, "The journey itself and the experiences that you have gained and the beauty that you have witnessed, these are the real treasures. Contentment comes not from what you acquire, but from the journey you have undertaken." And this morning we'll be looking at the subject of contentment. Contentment. And we live in a world where people think that, you know, the more material things or the more physical treasures that one gets is the more they become content. And you find that when you look at the Bible says a lot when it comes to the subject of contentment. For example, I'm going to look at a few verses, just I'm going to read some of them before you. And one of the verses that we're going to read is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. And this is what Paul talks about. This is what he says about contentment. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." So Paul talks about that. He says, you know, godliness with contentment is gain. Then there's also Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And this is what the author of Hebrews says. He says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have." Be content with what you have. Because God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Then the other passage that I'm going to read is also 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And this is what Paul says. This passage was mentioned earlier on as we're going through the lesson of dealing with pain. And this is what Paul says. He says this. But he said to me, this is referring to God, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And brothers and sisters, as I have, you know, shared with you these verses, it is said that we live in a world where people think that, you know, they become, when they amass wealth, when they amass physical things, they become content in life. And it's said to note that, you know, there are a lot of Christians out there who profess to love Jesus, who profess to walk in the ways of the Lord, and yet they are filled with discontentment. Now, let's look at what is contentment. I think it's always good to define something before you get into the topic. So what is contentment? Contentment is a state of being satisfied with one's current situation, possessions, or circumstances, without desiring more or different things. It is a sense of peacefulness, gratitude, and acceptance of what one has, rather than constantly striving for more. As I mentioned, we live in a society where people say, if you want to be happy, if you want to be content, strive for more. But contentment is not that. And contentment does not mean settling for less or being complacent, but rather it is a state of mind and heart which allows a person to find joy and fulfillment in the present moment, even in difficult situations. It involves letting go the desire of material wealth and status and power, and finding value and happiness in God. That's what contentment is about. And brothers and sisters, the passage that has been read to us, you find that Paul is dealing with the topic of contentment. Remember that Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. He was chained to the Roman soldier 24/7. He was isolated. He was not able to move around. So he lost his freedom to walk, to work, his freedom to move around, to minister to the people, to the churches, as he did before. But interesting, you find that even that Paul was in that situation, you find that in the midst of his need, the Philippian church, they heard about Paul's situation. When they heard about his need, what did they do? They sent a brother in Christ, Epaphroditus. He was sent with gifts to Paul so that he could minister to Paul. Just imagine what Paul was going through. He was chained, no freedom. He was in isolation. I remember some of us during the pandemic, when we had COVID, we were asked to isolate. I remember my family, when we had COVID, we isolated for 10 days. I tell you, 10 days, they actually seemed like, you know, a number of months. Why? Because we lost the freedom to move out of the house. What would happen? People from our church, they will go and buy some groceries and they leave them at the door. And we hear a phone call. It says, Brother Daniel, there are some groceries for you. Then we had to go and get the groceries. But those 10 days, they were very difficult. Just imagine what Paul went through. And yet, what does Paul say in this passage? Paul tells us that, you know, he was content. He was a content man. He was content there. Then we ask the question, why? What made Paul content in his situation? Being in jail, lots of comfort, being isolated, what made him content? And friends, I want to share with you that, you know, there are four things that enabled Paul to be content with this situation. And I pray that, you know, as we look at these four things, we as a congregation, we reflect on ourselves and ask the questions, do we have those four things that enabled Paul to be filled with contentment? Now, the first point that we see is that Paul put his confidence in God's providence. Paul put his confidence in God's providence. That's the first point. So he did not put confidence in himself, but put confidence in God's providence. Then secondly, we see that Paul was satisfied with little. He was satisfied with little. Then the third point, we see that Paul was independent of his circumstances. He was independent of his circumstances. That's the third aspect. So he put confidence in God. He was satisfied with little. He was independent from his circumstances. And lastly, he was satisfied. He was sustained by divine power. He was sustained by the divine power. Now, let's look at the first point. He put his confidence in God's providence. He put his confidence in God's providence. Remember, the brothers and sisters, that, you know, Paul was in jail. He was in prison. And he was in there for 10 years had passed. Since Paul received a love gift from the Philippian church. And remember that Paul is the one who founded the church. But, and because of that, there was this love, a bond of love that existed before between Paul and the believers in Philippi. So you find that 10 years had gone by, and for Paul, there was no support. And guess what? You know, when you look at Paul, Paul understood that support did not come. He did not know why the support did not come. And in the letter that, in the passage that we've read, he says this. He says that, brothers and sisters, I know that you did not have any opportunity to give. And the scriptures are silent as to why the Philippian church did not support Paul. But there are a number of views. Some think that they did not know that Paul was in prison at this point. So that's why they were not able to give him for the past, for the 10 years. But look at what is Paul's response? He says, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. When the gift came to Paul, Paul does not say, I greatly rejoice in the gifts. But he says, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. So the word that is used there is mega. In other words, he says that I'm filled with mega joy. Mega joy. And he's filled in the mega joy in the Lord. Why? Because Paul knew that God was the one who was orchestrating everything that was happening in his life. Paul did, he knew that in, you know, he put his trust in God, and he knew that God was ordering events to happen. And that's what we call providence. So in other words, he trusted in God's sovereignty. He did not panic. When the gifts did not come, he did not panic. Neither did he try to pull out strings. There are people in life, when things get sour, what do? We try to pull up some strings. Okay, let me try to connect this person and this person. Paul does not do that. He was filled with joy, mega joy in the Lord. So his confidence was actually in the Lord. So we see Paul. Paul's confidence is in the Lord. Paul's confidence is in the Lord. So friends, you and I, when we live our lives, as we go through challenges in life, we need, the secret to contentment is putting our confidence in God, realizing that God is ordering events. God is in control. God is controlling everything that's happening around. God is orchestrating every event, putting people in the right places, ordering events to happen one after the other. And that's what we see. Paul's confidence is in the Lord. So the first secret of contentment is putting confidence in God's providence. So this is what we see. Then what else do we see? We see that Paul, you know, he put confidence in the Lord. That's the first thing. Secondly, he was satisfied with little. He was satisfied with little. We see this in verse 11. He says this, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever situation, whatever circumstances there. So Paul, here you find he's making a disclaimer. He's saying, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. You know, I rejoiced when your gift came. I rejoiced that, you know, it has come at the right time. But at the same time, what does Paul say? He says, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. You ask the question, what circumstance did Paul find himself? You find that Paul, as I mentioned, he was in jail. He was chained to the soldiers. He had little things around him. He had water, he had food, he had a bed to sleep on. So that's what Paul had. So in other words, he was satisfied with little. He was satisfied with little. So you find that Paul was satisfied with little. He was not discontent. He was satisfied with the little that he had around him. And may I say, brothers and sisters, this is very important because we live in a world where people think that we can never be content with the little things that the Lord puts around us. We must be content with those things. We find that Paul was satisfied. As long as he had food, as long as he had clothing, as long as he had a place to sleep, that was fine. That was okay for him. So you find that Paul, he had learned to be content in whatever circumstance, even it meant to be little, in little things. And why do we see Paul being content? He realized that, you know, Christ was sufficient for him. Christ was sufficient for him. So you find that, you know, Paul was satisfied with that. Now, this is very interesting because we live in a world where there are prosperity preachers out there. And these guys, what do? They are not satisfied with what they have. So they keep on preaching this gospel of asking the people to give to them. And yet they are forsaking the example that we see in the word of God. So you see what a skew view that we see around us. So you find that Paul was satisfied with the little that he had. Then what else do we see? So we see that Paul put confidence in God. Paul is satisfied with the little that he had. Thirdly, what do we see? We see that Paul was independent from his circumstance. Paul was independent from his circumstance. And you may say to me, what do you mean when you say that Paul was independent from his circumstance? In other words, Paul says this, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. So Paul was able, he knew the secret of being content. In other words, Paul, whatever circumstances that Paul found himself in, he did not let the circumstances define him. He did not let the circumstance define him. There are many people in this world, many believers in this world. Whatever second, if they are going through good times in life, they are happy. If they are going through difficult time in life, blood pressure, loss of contentment, no joy of the Lord, sadness, grumpy, complaining. Why? Because they are allowing the circumstance to define them. And yet for Paul, what do we see? Paul did not allow the circumstances to define him. Whatever, he knew what it meant to be in need. He knew what it meant to be in plenty, to have plenty. And yet that did not rob his joy from the Lord. So you find that one of the secret aspect when it comes to contentment, we need to live independent of our circumstances. Our satisfaction should not be detected by what we have or whatever you are going through. We should actually fix our eyes on the Lord. And this is what Paul did. Remember in Acts chapter 16, as it was mentioned during the Sunday school, you find that Paul and Silas, what happened? They were dragged in the marketplace. The crowd rose against them. And what happened? They tore their robes and they were beaten. But what do we see them doing in prison? They are praising the Lord. They are worshiping the Lord while they were in prison. Why? They did not allow their circumstance to take away their joy. So you find they were independent of that circumstance that they were going through. So you find that, you know, Paul experienced difficult situations. We read in 2 Corinthians, many difficult situations that you and I will never experience in this life. And yet what does he do? You know, he was filled with contentment. He was filled with contentment. So we have seen that Paul put confidence, you know, he rejoiced greatly in the Lord. He rejoiced greatly in the Lord. He was satisfied with little. He was independent of his circumstances. Then what else do we see? The fourth point, we see that Paul was sustained by the divine power. He was sustained by the divine power. This is the fourth point that we see. And we see this in verse 18, and this is what Paul says. He says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And many times when people look at this verse, we take it out of context. Somebody says, you know, whatever they're happening, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You find that when Paul says this, he's talking in the context of suffering. In the context of suffering, he was in jail. He was going through a difficult time. And what Paul says when he says that I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength, Paul is actually telling us that he was sustained by Christ. He was sustained by Christ. In other words, you know, Christ, you know, he was Christ sufficient. He was Christ sufficient. And the point that Paul is telling us is that, you know, even in those moments of suffering that he was going through, he actually experienced the fact that he is connected with the power of Christ. He was connected to the power of Christ. That's why he says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is saying to us that, you know, I am connected with Christ. I'm connected to Christ. The life of Christ is the life that is seen in me. And Paul mentions that a number of places in the New Testament. For example, in Galatians 2 verse 20, this is what Paul says. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. But Christ lives in me. So this is what Paul is saying there. So Paul experienced that fact that, you know, Jesus Christ's power was working in his life. And brothers and sisters, I want to say that when you and I are going through tough time, you find that we can make it through, not on our own strength, but we can make it through the power of Christ that is at work in all of us. And Paul is saying that when he came to the very end of his own resources, what did he do? He experienced the power of Christ to sustain him. He experienced the power of Christ to sustain him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is what Paul said. Remember that Paul struggled with a thorn in the flesh. He came to God and says to God, God, can you take away this thorn in the flesh? Some, you know, commentators say that, you know, possibly Paul was struggling with some illness that he had. Some say that probably he was struggling with the issue of blindness. He could not see. So Paul presented this issue before the Lord, whatever it is, it was. He says, Lord, can you remove this thorn of flesh? Can you remove this thorn in my flesh? But what did the Lord say to him? The Lord says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So you find that Paul realized that. He realized that the power of Christ was working in him. So brothers and sisters, you and I, we face difficulties, we face challenges in life. It is when we face those challenges in life, when you and I are weak, that the Lord's power is infused in us and we experience God's strength in our lives. And I've seen it many times in my own life. I've seen where I've been, you know, maybe, you know, serving at the Bible Institute. Maybe we are praying and say, Lord, we are in financial difficulties. There have been moments the past 10 years that I have served as a principal where I'm saying, Lord, we are coming to the end of the month. We don't have salaries to pay. We have prayed. We've brought this matter to you, Lord. And guess what? We leave everything in the hands of the Lord. Guess what? Many times I can testify that in the 11th hour, what happened? What happened? The Lord came through. Not in our own strength, but his own power. So in our weakness, we actually experience the power of God in us. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's saying that, you know, I'm content. Why? Because I've seen the power of God in my life. And this is the secret of contentment, is to realize that God is working in us. We see his power flowing in us. We see his power. We are strengthened by that power, that the power of the Lord that is at work in us. This is the very power that gives me strength. This is the very power that gives you strength. I remember some time ago, some years ago, I had a friend of mine. He was diagnosed with cancer. And my family and I, we visited him every week. Every weekend, we went to spend time encouraging him as a family. And, you know, interesting, when I looked at my friend, even though he was facing death in his eyes, even though he was being faced with this life-threatening disease, where there's no cure at all. But what did I see in him? I saw him. I saw the power of Christ in his life. He focused his eyes on the Lord. Even though things were bad, but he was filled with this incredible joy. Why? Because his contentment was not on the things of this world, but his contentment was in God. And every time we visited him, never complained. Never did he point a finger on God. He was filled with joy, contentment. Even though his body was wasting away, his life was ebbing away, he was filled with joy. No anger, he was not angry, not even grumpy. Why? Because he had this contentment in Jesus. He had this contentment in Jesus. Not only that, he had this peace that surpasses all human understanding. So in other words, you know, even the last time that I saw him, I saw the power of Christ in working in him. So friends, what Paul is talking about here, it applies, you know, it's the power of Christ does not apply to anyone in the street. It applies to a believer who is walking in the will of God. The believer who is walking in the will of God. If you are living a life of sin, and you are at the bottom of the pit where sin has dragged you to, don't expect the Lord to step in and to deliver his power and to bring you to a point of contentment. But this applies to believers, those who are walking in the will of God. Just like what we see was what was happening in the life of Paul. So you find that Paul, when you look at the life of Paul, you find that Paul was content. Why? Because he experienced the power of God. He experienced the power of God. And brothers and sisters, I want to come back to the story that I started with at the beginning about the traveler. Remember that old man who was staring at the magnificent view, he says to him, contentment does not come from what you acquire, but the journey that you have undertaken. And brothers and sisters, I want to mention that, you know, this story reminds us that, you know, contentment is not found in accumulation of material wealth or the physical treasures of this world. Contentment is only found in the joy of the Lord. Contentment is only found in God. That's where contentment is found. And when you look at Paul understood this. He put his confidence in God's providence. He was satisfied with little. He was independent from his circumstances, and he was sustained by the divine power of Jesus. The divine power of Jesus. As we reflect on this, friends, you find that, you know, may the Lord help us to be content with whatever conditions or situations we find ourselves. Are you content with your wife? Are you content with your children? Are you content with your job? Are you content with your salary? Here comes a difficult one. Are you content with your bank balance? Because you find that Paul was content in whatever circumstance he found himself. Why? He knew that even in the midst of all the challenges that he faced, God was working out his purposes. God was working out his purposes. So are we content with what we have? Children who are here, are you content with the parents that the Lord has given you? Or maybe we're just complaining, discontent. I wish if we're like this family in the next door. That's discontentment. So you find that, you know, the Lord is challenging you and I to be able to, you know, to come to a point where we are content in him. Content in everything that the Lord has given us. Maybe when it comes maybe to the things of a job, maybe I've got a boss at work who is terrible. He's very demanding. He's very strict. He's not gracious. Let me tell you one thing. God has put you in that situation for a reason. Though difficult it may be, but the Lord wants you to experience his sovereignty, his power, even in the midst of a challenging situation. May the Lord help us to trust in God's sovereignty. Do you trust in God's sovereignty? Do you realize that God is orchestrating all the events that are happening in your life? God is ordering the events, even where you are, even where you are, even the job where you are working. God is ordering these events. Even in the community, the way you stay, God has allowed you to stay there for his own purpose. For his own purpose. And I think you and I, we need to have that kind of understanding. One time I was coming with my son. I had taken him from school. As we are going down Boyce Drive, there was the car wheel went over a nail or sharp object. And here we go, flat tire. Then my son says to me, Daddy, what are we going to do? I said, you know what? We are so close to the college, so it's fine. You know, let's leave the car here, take our things home. Then we come and bring the jack and try to change the wheel, put a spare wheel on there. So we took our things, we came back. And as we're under the car, trying to jack the car and take the wheel, it was quite a nightmare trying to do that. But interesting, the Lord brought some people whom we never know. Two people. One person that he brought, he does the actual job of breakdown. He works for a breakdown company where they go and fix cars which have got a breakdown. And the other brother that I met was a lecturer who teaches, a Christian man who teaches at UCT. So while we're even taking the tire, we're having a conversation that was going on there. Why? Because God is orchestrating events that happen in our lives. Whether they are good, whether they are bad. It was nice because we ended up talking about the Lord. We ended up encouraging one another. We ended up having fellowship with these people that I never knew. Why? Because God is orchestrating. So we need to trust in God's sovereignty. We need to trust in God's sovereignty. Then the other point that we saw already is that when you look at Paul, he was satisfied with little. He was satisfied with little. And the question that I have for you, are you satisfied with the little that the Lord gives you? Are you satisfied with the little that God has given you? And it's said that we live in a culture where it's about the latest thing. It's the latest thing. You know, if you've got a phone, it's the latest smartphone. If you've got a laptop, it's the latest laptop. Anything is latest. And Paul is telling us that you and I can be satisfied in what the little that the Lord has given us. You and I, we should not be anxious. You should not be discontent like the people of the world who are satisfied, who always go for these material things, and they miss out the blessing of the fellowship with God. So may the Lord help us so that you and I, we are satisfied with little, just like Paul was satisfied with little. May the Lord help us so that you and I, we rise up above the circumstances that we find ourselves. You know, are you independent of the circumstances that you find yourself in? Or maybe these circumstances, they are the ones that are determining your mood. They are the ones that are robbing you of the joy of the Lord. You know, you find many people, because of the circumstances, they allow these circumstances to rob their joy. You know, you find other people, because things are tough at work, they get stressed. And they allow the stress and the blood pressure to go above the roof. Why? Why do we do that? And sometimes we find ourselves filled with anxiety. But when you look at Paul, Paul did not allow the circumstances to define his joy, to rob him of the joy of the Lord that he had. And lastly, brothers and sisters, you know, are we being sustained by the power of Christ in us? Are we being sustained by the power of Christ? Or maybe we are trying to live the Christian life in our own power. Because Paul knew, he says that, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In the challenging times, what happened? God sustained Paul with his power. And the same also happens to us as believers. God can sustain us in his own power. There was a time when I was going through a difficult time, and you know, in 1 week, my brother was involved in an accident. I got a call at 2 a.m. Daniel, your brother is being rushed to theater. What happened? You know, he was knocked off by a truck. You know, that happened in that week. My mother heard about the situation. Guess what happened? She stroked. And I remember people looking at me and says, but Daniel, how are you coping with life? And surely I can say this, you know, God was sustaining me through his power. Through his power. So you and I, we need to understand that as we go through challenging time, what do we see? God is sustaining you and I. And we find that God's grace is sufficient for us. In any situation that you find yourself, it may be illness, it may be a difficult marriage, it may be difficult work situation, it may be difficult time of studies. I see it with my kids. I've got my son who is preparing for matric. You know, gets stressed out, he doesn't know what to do. And you know, I say to him, son, trust in the Lord. God can sustain you. God can give you the strength. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient for us. His power is made perfect in our own weakness. May the Lord help us as a church so that we are content. May the Lord grant contentment in our lives. And let's pray. Heaven Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And Lord, we pray so that, Lord, you forgive us. Many times, Lord, we have grumbled before you, Lord. We have complained before you, Lord. And, Lord, we have not been content with the situation that you have put us in, Lord. And many times, Lord, we have looked at you and say, Lord, you have thrown at us a curved ball. And, Lord, we are challenged by the life of Paul. Even though he was in a very difficult situation, Lord, we see him filled with contentment, Lord. We see him filled with the joy of the Lord. We see him experiencing your strength and your power, even in times of weakness, Lord. And Father, we pray so that the same may be seen in us. Lord, we pray so that, Lord, we have the same attitude that Paul had, Lord. Being satisfied with little. Lord, an attitude, Lord, where we are filled with the mega joy because of what you are doing, Lord, because of your sovereignty and your providence in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we pray so that, Lord, we follow this example of Paul. So, Lord, we want to commit, we commit this coming week before you, Lord. We pray so that this word will continue to ring in our hearts. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.